Hello, Kaya. My name is Kevin O'Brien, Kevin Vincent O'Brien. Although I've got an English accent, all my family background is Irish, and my wife, Catherine, comes from Kilorgan. I'm sitting in the upper room of our house in Glen Bay in Kilnabrack Lower, and I'm looking out on Curra Mountain, and beyond that there's Dingle Bay, and away in the distance, not too much today because it's a little bit dull, but often you can make out the Blasket Islands and even Mount Brandon in the far distance. So it's a gorgeous view, and we spent a lot of time up here just to take in the view.
Mm-hmm. It is such a beautiful spot, and even outside you can see the sheep grazing now at the moment, and I assume this place has, you know, inspired you to write about it as well.
Very much so. I mean, quite a few of the poems I've done are just about Glen Bay and the views, and down to Ross Bay Strand, which is just a mile or two down the road. Mm-hmm. And the sheep, as you say, have been a real plus this last week, because when we arrived from our holiday last week, there were two lambs, and there are now, I think, seven. So we enjoy watching them and seeing them play and gambol.
The real sign of spring as well.
It is, yeah. I've done a little poem about them, as a matter of fact, about all the sheep of all the animals of Kerry, sheep, donkeys, cattle, and so on, because I loved seeing them mm-hmm. all around.
Kevin, I spoke to you about at least 2 years ago, and when we sat down here, we were a bit shy, whereas now we know each other a bit better. But you have composed a number of poems since I last met you, and you're working on a bit of stuff, so tell me about that.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of the poems are just about Glen Bay, just wandering around the countryside around here, but I like to do some more serious ones as well. And a few months ago, maybe a year ago, we were out at Cahas Iveen, and we came down a back road and came onto a famine grave, or a famine graveyard. There are dozens and dozens just outside Cahas Iveen. And all the graves were just lumps of rock. You know, no proper gravestones that we would think of nowadays. And I thought how dreadful it was that people were buried under those circumstances. So I've done a couple of poems, actually, about the famine, or Angort Moor, as they call it. That's in more serious mode. So, you know, I like to cast around. I like to do some humorous ones. We did the Camino to Santiago this time last year with a group of people, including people from Glen Bay and some friends from London. So we've done a poem about, or I've done a poem about that. So really anything that pops in. But my next project now, and again, it's just for my own fun, really, is a history of Ireland in poetry. And I've done something about Brian Boru, Dermot McMurray bringing the Normans over. And I'm going to sort of work my way gradually through. Not always easy, because it's difficult to find a rhyme to Brian Boru. It can be done, yeah.
Kevin, I wonder, with your love and for your writing of Ireland, with you being in England most of the time, has that made you more inspired to write about how beautiful Ireland is?
Oh, I think so. Catherine, my wife, used to come here as a child, because her family were in Kilorgan. And so she brought me here, first of all, to Glen Bay and to Ross Bay, and I just loved it. But at home, when I was growing up in London, my family was very conscious of its Irishness. My father, for instance, his name was Robert Emmett O'Brien. And my mother, who came from Ada, was also very, very, not nationalist, but very in love with Ireland. So I guess I've inherited that, which I'm pretty pleased about.
Is there people over in London that have read your work and it almost inspired them to come over and visit Ireland?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've only just yesterday we had a cousin with us. He's just gone back to Leeds. We have, when we're in England, we're in London, and I'd say we have a steady stream. We've got a couple more friends coming over, and one of them has discovered that his family background is in Farran Fawr, so he's going to go and explore Farran Fawr while he's here. We'll take him out and show him. I think that has happened.
Now, before we started and we mentioned looking out the window here, you have wrote a beautiful poem about, you know, your viewing point here in Glenbeg. Would you mind composing that for us?
This one? Yeah, if that's all right. I called it Looking Out of My Window because that's what we do so much. From my window in the distance I see a wondrous view that is dearest to me. The Dingle Hills gathered round the mountain that once welcomed Brendan home from the sea. Beneath them lie the waters of the bay, past village and town and Shiva's dark woods sparkling and dancing on their endless way, reaching at last the great ocean beyond. Closer still, the dunes of Ross Bay Strand are kissed by the eternal crashing waves, and casting its shade across the glorious lands, above it all, stately Curra stands. Next, nestling below Shefin's lofty peak, a belfry rises above the village church of that smiling place, our sweet Glenbeg, a jewel on Kerry's golden ring. As I walk each day to my window, all this beauty awaits there for me, and I think how blessed to be here in Glenbeg, right next to the sea.
Where does your head go when you start putting words into to paper?
I'm sorry?
Where does your mind go when you're putting...
Well, the first thing I go to is a little book, which is a rhyming book. I find getting a rhyme is quite easy, but getting a rhythm is more difficult. And I just quote to myself the first line of one of Shakespeare's sonnets, the Darling Buds of May. And that first line is just beautifully rhythmic and has a rhyme at the end. And that's something I always look for. I don't always get it, but that's what I look for, rhyme and rhythm.
Now, we don't know how many poems are in this book at the moment, Kevin, as you have so many. I suppose you write one nearly once every 2 days.
Well, I have fits and starts. The one there I wrote about Halloween a couple of years back. I was in America visiting my nephew who lives in Massachusetts, and I did one for his two children, my cousins. At the moment I'm working on that history project. The other thing, for instance, there's one I did about Puck and how the goat must feel if he's not allowed to go up there. At least once a week I try to get something done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work like that, but I try to, yeah.
This poem book that you have at the moment is very much, you know, for yourself, it's personal use, and for your families. So you wrote loads about your family. How did they feel when you delivered that poem to them?
Well, they usually laugh.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. There's one about our niece, Mary Kate, when she did well in her exams. That's a guy called Johnny Mussel, who's a friend of ours, who always says that he's not Irish, but it turned out that his mother came from Westmeath, I think. But he's got such a Cockney accent, he always calls it Westmeath. but he was pleased to have a little poem written about him. Mm-hmm. I think mostly people quite enjoy it. They humour me.
Tell me, Kevin, that when you went over and you saw the old famine graves and you said, OK, I need to write about this, what was that like for you?
Well, I was, as I said, deeply moved by it, the thought that of all these people, and I didn't say I did do that poem, the thought of all those people, unheralded really, they didn't have any sort of monument to them. Their only monument is the grave and its lumps of stone. And I've been to a few of these graveyards, and it's always an atmosphere of sadness about them, lives wasted, lives unremembered. And it is very moving, yeah, it just does get to me.
Mm-hmm. What were people's feedback about it when they read it?
Oh, I think people mostly... I mean, a lot of people don't know much about the famine. And when they realise the enormous tragedy for the whole country of Ireland, I think before the famine there were 8 million people in Ireland. By the time the famine was over, it was at least 2 million dead and emigrated and so on. But I think people don't know, even people here in Ireland don't always remember it. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you shouldn't live too much in the past. Mm. But it does, it catches me.
Mm-hmm. Now, on a positive note, and we are going into the past here, tell me about the Camino.
Oh, right, yes. Well, Catherine, my wife, has been organising, just amongst friends and family, been organising the Camino to Santiago de Compostela for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Sometimes it's just a handful, sometimes, like this time, the last one we did, I think there was 15 people on it. And Catherine does all the organising. She's a very good administrator. I call her my PA, which doesn't always please her. But yes, she organises it. And we fly into Santiago, which is in northwest Spain, and which is often actually compared to Ireland. It's very green, gets a lot of rain, it has the wind coming in off the Atlantic Ocean, very much like us here in Kerry, and not like the rest of Spain at all. So we fly into Compostela, we make our way out, get a minibus, make our way out to a place about 100 kilometres out from Compostela, and then I've got it worked out really well. All the others start walking, but I drive a minibus carrying the cases and picking them along the way. So I've got it worked really nicely. I don't have to work a step, and they all have to walk 100 kilometres.
Well, I was going to ask, what foot gear did you bring? But it didn't matter for you.
Exactly, yeah. I'm tucked away safely in the bus, yeah.
Kevin, you might compose one of your favourites from this book here, and it's also called The Best of Rhymes with Kevin O'Brien.
Oh, that's a bit vanity, that, yeah. Yeah. Well, when we spoke before, I think that you'd seen a poem of mine about Mary Joy, who emigrated from Kilorgan. So I thought it was only fair to do one about an emigrant boy as well, and this is the one that I've done.
Okay, take it over.
Okay, thank you. Alone in the pub, the emigrant boy stood quietly supping a well-earned pint. 5 hard days working on a building site, first week of digging over and done, and pay pocket hot in his pocket that night. "Can you give us a start?" he'd been told to say, but 4 times he was just turned away. From site to site he'd plodded downcast. At last, a foreman looked him up and down, perhaps recalling how he had begun. "You look as if you're new in town, but you'll do," he said, "if you can start right now. 10 bob an hour for an 8-hour day, 20 quid a week you'll get in your pay. Though you'll have to give the tax man his cut." "Thanks, boss," said the kid, as he'd been told he should. "I'm ready and able to start right now." The foreman pointed over to the place where other lads were at the digging, the map of Ireland all over each face. So hours and days and weeks stretched out before him. His hands grew hard and roughly calloused, and each night, after last orders were called, out on the street, the loneliness came back. Then he lay on his bed in his tiny room, thinking of what he had left behind. The love of his father and mother, so strong, he thought he might smother. Even the annoying little brother he remembered now with silent longing, or how he missed every one of them, and that wonderful sense of belonging. But he stuck it out and forged a life, met an Irish girl who became his wife. They rented a place in Shepherd's Bush, could just afford it at a push. There, contented, they raised a family. 3 children, 2 boys and a girl whose red hair was a cascade of curls. And together they lived quite happily. There were trips back to Kerry, just a few, as money those days was often tight, though the children never went short of a bite. But here's the thing, and it's no surprise, and it's worth a moment to emphasise, the accent that those children had was very different from their mam and dad.
I love that one, Kevin. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kia.
So tell me, Kevin, before I wrap up, where do the next 2 years hold for you?
Oh, well, definitely the history one. But because I love this whole area of Kerry, I want to do as much about that as I can. Not just the views, but the people, the animals, the whole culture of Kerry, I think. That's what I'll be looking at as much as I can.
And hopefully we can start buying that then.
Oh, let's hope, yeah.